today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Kenneth Copeland and presidential historian Doug Weed share a special message calling all believers to stand united.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Friday's edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. He's at the right hand of the Almighty God, and He's raised us up together to sit with Him in heavenly places. So what are you doing sitting there? Why don't you rise up and take your place? Praise God. Father, we thank You for this broadcast today, and we receive Your anointing in the name of Jesus. Amen. Join me again today in welcoming Doug Weed to this broadcast.
Thank you,
Doug, this has been exciting, man.
I'm learning a lot.
I get so thrilled when men and women like you get involved with us in our ministry. You have an anointing on you that God has ordained because His people need you. And to see it from your vantage point, and man, I get so excited. I've been so excited all this week. I can't. When they cut the camera off, and I can't quit.
I wish they kept the camera running, because some of your best teaching is right when that light goes out.
Man, now let's go to the book of Isaiah. You've spent a lot of time at God's command, direction, and anointing inside the workings of government. Now, nobody will ever be able to convince me that God didn't raise up the United States government. He raised this government up. There's no question in my mind about that. As a response to a cry of people. He's the one that calm down, yes. So let's go over here to the book of Isaiah, because you have insight into this, and I want you to talk about the first chapter, very first chapter of Isaiah. And verse 18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, then you'll eat the good of the land." So he's talking about healing the land. People are crying out to him about it. I want you to notice this 25th and 26th verses. "I will turn my hand upon you and purely purge away your dross or your slag or your trash. Take away all of your tin or your alloys, your ways that you have polluted the preciousness of it. And I will restore your judges as at the first and your counselors or your lawyers as at the beginning. Afterward, thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city."
Wow.
Now...
Wow.
Doug Weed.
I've read the Bible many times, but I don't remember seeing that.
If I'm any judge of the Scripture, and I don't know much, but in 41 years, you can just stumble up on some things. And I've learned that if you put the Word of God first, it's not a Bible failure. It's not a God failure. Failures are not God-made. The Bible doesn't cause failures. All of the... If the United States goes down the drain, it's Judgment Day. It's not going to be the president's fault. He'll have his part to answer for. It's not going to be Congress's fault. They'll have their part to answer for. It's not going to be the judge's fault. They'll have their part to answer for. It's going to lay at the foot of the body of Christ, because we are the ones with the prayer power, the word power, the gifts of the Spirit power, the power of the name of Jesus, and we've been made to sit with Him in heavenly places with an awesome authority. So what are we doing? Instead of sitting in heavenly places, we sit in front of the TV center. Look at her, Myrtle. My God, they're killing more unborn babies. rah, but that's all he ever does. He don't pray about it. He don't do anything about it. He just cusses Congress and goes on. Well, the people that we elected and that or didn't elect, that got into office and picked the judges, now you've got to live under them. So what are we going to do now? Man, I'm so stirred up over all this. I pray over my vote. I pray over my president, my vice president. I don't care whether I voted for him or not. The scripture says to pray for him, so I do. I'm standing in these areas. I don't know, but what maybe this is one of the reasons the devil stirred up senators and whoever else to try to get us shut up, because I'm not preaching Republican doctrine or the doctrine of the Democratic Party or anything else. I'm just preaching what the Bible says about your and my responsibility for the government that sits over us, because we've been blessed to have something to say.
Yeah, and it's a question of stewardship. You've given when we say we're free, thank God I'm free. What does that mean to be free? And the answer is, the only freedoms we really have that totalitarian states don't have is the freedom to petition government. Have you petitioned government? If you've never written a letter or an email to a government official, you haven't petitioned government. That's one of the few things that makes you free. Freedom of the press. Do you publish something? If you don't publish anything, you know, we have the freedom to vote, the freedom to speak. But if you don't speak, the freedom to worship. If you don't worship, what's the difference? You might as well drive a cab in communist China. You know, I mean, those are the freedoms we have unless we exercise them. And we had this president nominated a born-again Christian to the Supreme Court. And as evangelical Christians, we have loved and looked to Catholic leadership among movement conservatives. Ed Fulner, who runs the Heritage Foundation, mm-hmm. Murdoch, who has the Fox TV, and we look to Hannity, who's Catholic, and to O'Reilly, who's Catholic, and to that's who we look to as our spokesman, Paul Weyrich and other leaders among the conservative movement. And we look to Catholic judges. We look to Clarence Thomas, who was a Catholic judge. We look to Judge Roberts when he was appointed. We supported as a Catholic judge.
How many federal judges are there?
Well, it depends. There's 780 approximately, 749. And out of the 749 judges, federal judges, when I was in the White House and we tried to poll, we could only find 4 born-again Christians.
That represents
almost 40% of the American population. But the point I was making, we have none on the Supreme Court. We have 5 Catholic jurists who are very good on the Supreme Court, including mm-hmm. Scalia, mm-hmm. and they tend to represent our values. But the evangelical Christians, now I'm talking about Baptists and Pentecostals and all the evangelicals together, representing about 40% of the country, had for the first time in their history, had an evangelical nominated, a born-again Christian nominated for the Supreme Court, and they didn't get behind her, and she just was taken out on TV, just ripped apart. People said, well, she's not conservative now. Everybody in America knows she's very conservative and would have been a great jurist, but nobody got behind her, and if nobody got behind her, we could help. Yeah. You can participate in the process. That's the thing.
If none of us ever participate in it, why would you think it would change?
That's what's got me really stirred up. The federal judges are important. Federal judges issue nuisance warnings. For example, there was a ruling that you couldn't have a cross in a federal cemetery. Well, that got overturned by the Supreme Court. But in the meantime, churches had to pay money and religious people had to hire attorneys and they had to pay money to reserve the right to have a cross in a federal cemetery. It's typical. There was a church out in California, a federal judge made a ruling they couldn't use the sidewalk for parking or something. This was back in the 1980s, and because of separation of church and state, and it got resolved, but it's costly. The evangelical not only has to pay his tithes, he has to give money to the church to defend their legal rights because they're mm-hmm. under assault right now. Mm-hmm. And government, you know, if government took all our taxes and they just dumped that money in the Potomac, it wouldn't be so bad. but they spend it.
Yeah,
and when they spend it, it's coming. It's coming your way. I remember when I was at the White House, I saw laws passed, signed in to law that I thought, whoa, this is, when this hits mainstream. And then now, 8, 9, 10 years later, those laws are beginning to come out to hit people where they are, and they're shocked. But they were laws that were passed a long time ago. When the federal government, when they tell your daughter, your 13-year-old daughter, that she can't drive a car, they're making a statement. They're saying it's irresponsible. There's something immoral about letting your daughter drive a car. She's too young, and we're not going to let her do it. She can't vote. There's something immoral and wrong with letting her vote. She's not old enough. She doesn't have that privilege. She can't drink alcohol because she's not old enough, and we're not going to let her drink alcohol. We're the government. We care about your daughter, and we have rules here, and that's irresponsible, and that's immoral. And then the same government hands her a birth control pill and says, furthermore, we won't tell your parents. Then the government is speaking. The government is saying to your daughter that there's nothing unnatural about sexual promiscuity. There's nothing immoral about sexual promiscuity. If there was, we'd tell you. We won't let you drive or vote or drink alcohol. We'd say something. There's nothing wrong with this. And furthermore, if your parents are trying to tell you that there is something wrong with it, they're wrong. Now, government is using my tax dollars to propagate its message and compete with me in my right to share my values to my own children. Now, we're talking about the wider evangelical movement. This was my alarm when the senator started attacking six Pentecostal ministries. And I thought, wait a second. All the base that George W. Bush has left, the few people in America that still support him, are divided cleanly right down the middle by Pentecostal charismatics on one side and Baptists on the other. That's what's left of his support, mostly evangelical Christians and a few other scattering small subcultures, but basically those two groups. And when the senator started his investigation, it was like throwing a hand grenade right in the middle of what was left. It's dividing the Pentecostals and the Baptists. And they need to stay together. They need each other to survive what this country is going through.
The rest of the country needs for us to stay together.
It's true. It's unhealthy. It would be wrong. It would be unhealthy if any group of society was excluded the way evangelicals are and not participating. They need to participate. Even though the media ridicules them and attacks them, they need to participate for the health of the country. And they do need, they don't have to have 40% of the federal judges, but they should sure have more than four. And this verse you read in Isaiah speaks to me. You know, the Bible says in Revelation, you know, people who say, well, I don't want to get involved in government and everything. Well, the first five books of the Bible were written by a head of state. And then the next few books of the Bible are written on the history of a nation. And then other books of the Bible are written by heads of state, David and Solomon. And the major prophets are all written, most of them as messages to heads of state and about the government. And the minor prophets, too. And the book of Revelation, the Bible talks about the judgment of the nations. So the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, the government is very much a part of our life. We can't just go off into a cave and say, Lord, I just want to worship you. I can care less what happens to the government. How much more in a democratic government, where as stewards, we have to answer to God for our vote and the use of our liberty. So it, I don't mean to make anybody feel guilty, but...
I do. It's time you come under conviction for this. Not so much feel guilty, but come under the conviction of the Word of God and say, you know, I need to be doing something about this.
Well, you know, you're doing something about it. And I appreciate this week because you've got set up, you've got people that are helping you at these websites to answer the questions that have been raised, which is legitimate. You're answering those questions. You've offered to answer every single question the senator asks. If it's done under the protection of the Constitution and not his liberty to leak what he wants, selected out of context to the media to destroy you. So you've had, I think, you've honored the responsibility you have to your donors and the people who love your ministry to not just throw it away, but to act honorably, to send it through the IRS or it can go through legal means. You've done that. And you've given people these websites that they can get involved if they have not been and become active. But almost, you don't have to tell anybody what to think. If they would just express their opinion, this government would be more healthy and religion in America would be more free.
One of the reasons that I'm so passionate about this is because I was falling into this same trap. I was doing this. And man alive, I mean, the Spirit of God came on me, and he began to talk to me.
Really?
And I don't like it when he has to talk to me. When he starts telling me this or else, you're going to do this. I don't want any of that or else, man.
And what was the timing on that? What years was that happening?
It began really in the mid-70s.
Wow.
And I was so involved in this ministry and preaching this message, and I just preached night and day for the first 10 years of this ministry. And he began to jerk the slack out of me and pull me aside and say, look, you're not paying enough attention here to the processes that are around you. You're believing God, understanding. But he said, here you preaching seed time and harvest. He said, what about the seed of the ballot?
Mm-hmm.
I said, whoa, I never even thought about my ballot being my seed. Now, I was big on voting. I picked that up when I was a student at Oral Roberts University, and the Lord really, really talked to the glory of me, voting, really sternly over being a part and voting. And read those party platforms, and that's what you're voting into office. It's not a personality. Mm-hmm. See which one of those parties that will hold up under your own personal scrutiny. And so we did that. I was shocked to see some of the stuff that was in those platforms. But anyway, he began to talk to me. He said, if you don't vote, first of all, you have then voted for whomever is the most ungodly one of the bunch.
That's right.
And he said, asked me this question. He said, did you ever notice that the abortionist, the homosexual community, they are people that are on the far, far left side of everything. He said, did you ever notice they're very seldom ever divided against a candidate? I said, no, why is that? He said, if you'll go to the key issue of all, just about all of that, there are people that don't care what happens to this country. They just want to keep doing what they're doing. He said, they're looking for somebody that'll make it easy for them to sin. Mm-hmm. He said, now, your job is not to make it easy to sin. You preach the Word of God. You make it hard to sin, but the wages of sin is death, man. Mm-hmm. He said, now, your situation here is, if you don't cast the ballot of your vote after having prayed and sought my face, if you're voting for that person because of money, if you're voting for that person because of this issue or that issue, you go find out where the spirit flow is and cast that ballot. Even if the person that you voted for doesn't get elected, you have a seed toward what was right. And he said, I'm obligated to take care of you for the next 4 years, whatever happens to
that. That is an amazing teaching.
And he's talking to me. I mean, my vote, what I do in my household.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so
that's beautiful.
Out of that began to grow this responsibility. If I don't vote, if I won't rise up and say something, then I don't have any gripe coming.
I see that, yeah. That's true. I've seen you sitting with presidents and talking to them, and I believe that right now, you and your relationship with Governor Mike Huckabee, for example, you representing the Pentecostals and he representing the Southern Baptists, are kind of holding this thing together single-handedly.
Huh.
And I see the Lord using you in that way. And I'm believing that this inquiry, this attack on you, will not inhibit. I have no doubt in my mind that something great was about to happen, or this preemptive attack wouldn't take place.
Well, I do too. Yeah.
And I think if you can stay flexible and imaginative and let the Spirit of the Lord flow through you, it will be revealed. And
the great thing is,
it hasn't destroyed your spirit. There's no bitterness there. There's no personal animosity. There's no anger, and that is a great lesson for me. And we're going to be opposed, we're going to be attacked,
yeah.
We're going to be criticized.
Yeah.
And we've got to answer the criticism, and then we've got to move on.
We had to stay. And I didn't learn this when this attack came. This is something that I've been studying for the whole time I've been in the ministry. To enter into God's rest, mix the word with faith, and then enter into that place of rest, and don't let anybody disturb that. It says, he that is entered into God's rest hath ceased from his own work as God did from his. Well, how did God cease from his work? The last work he did was when he blessed Adam and he released the blessing that was to perpetuate everything he created throughout eternity. So now, oh, he had to just rest and let her work. Well, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We release our faith. We speak the word of faith. Remember what Jairus did when he fell down Jesus' feet? He said, you come lay your hands on my daughter. She'll be healed and made whole. He never opened his mouth again. He followed him. All kinds of bad news hit him before he got there.
But she died.
He said his peace and let Jesus do his thing. Well, there's more to that than it's simple, but then it's very complex. In getting to that place where you believe God and you don't let the attacks of any kind disturb your faith, you stay and you listen. And whatever God says, you do it. And when God says, go offer the Internal Revenue Service the right to come audit your ministry, what? No, wait a minute. Are you afraid of that audit? Well, no, sir, because I'm willing to change anything they find that needs to be changed. I've been ready for an audit for 40 years. But you just stay.
I don't know of any ministry that ever asked for one, though.
But we're out of time, Doug. Brother Doug and I'll be back in just a moment.
In the midst of the noise the political process can bring, even some Christians face the question of voting and have a hard time seeing past what they think are gray areas. Some choose not to vote at all rather than risk voting for the wrong person. But if you lay your vote down, who comes behind you to pick it up? Some don't vote because with children it's just so difficult, while the people elected make decisions that affect those very same children. Some don't vote because they don't know the details of who they should or shouldn't vote for. But in the time it takes to drink a cup of coffee, they can find out exactly which candidates have the right views and make an educated decision. Finally, there are those who see it as a choice to walk in the light or lay down their vote in darkness. Let's walk together. Let's use our believing and our ballot to turn on the light. Watch. Pray. Vote.
As most of you already know, if you're a regular viewer or a partner to this ministry, the Lord spoke to Gloria and me a number of years ago, and he said, I want Friday to be offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast because of what he said right here. Let him that is taught in the Word communicate or respond unto him that teaches in all good things. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now, here's the key issue. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life, or the Zoe life of God. Now, what you've heard all week, what you've gone back to the website and heard over and over again, is now in your spirit. It is in there. But it's when you respond to that, you respond to Brother Doug and me, or you respond to your pastor, or you respond in any way by your giving back into that ministry, that's when you sow to your spirit, and the Zoe life of God that is in His Word that's been sown into your spirit can spring forth and bring action, and bring results, brings faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But it won't bring it unless you'll act on it and release it. So, Father, we pray over the offerings and decisions that people make. Don't you send anything into this ministry you hadn't prayed over. You understand that? The needs of this ministry are not met by your giving. The needs are met by my giving. Now, God may use you in response to that, but I'm not putting pressure on you. I want you to understand that for once and for all. If you have any idea that I'm trying to get you to put money in this ministry, put it back in your pocket. I don't want you doing that now. You pray. If the Lord impresses you to, then act on His word, and that will bring the blessing of God into your life, your family, your church, and so forth. And Father, we receive it in that frame of faith in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, those of you that live outside the United States, your offering does not come to the United States. It will stay in the area where you're seeing the broadcast, and it'll stay there to minister to you. Praise God. Go to church this weekend. Go start a revival or a riot or something. There's a place to stay informed. Doug Weed's blog, DougWeedWordPress.com. God bless you, man. We'll see you next time. Remember, Jesus is Lord.
Get ready to join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland along with other anointed ministers from across the country as we come together with believers from around the world. Spend an entire week in the Word at these life-changing meetings in 2008. Start things off in California at the West Coast Believers Convention, June 30th to July 5th, this year at a new location. Join us at the Long Beach Convention Center in Long Beach, California. Then head down to Texas for the Southwest Believers Convention from the 4th to the 9th of August at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. Finally, come to the Great Lakes Believers Convention August 18th to the 23rd at the U.S. Cellular Arena in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. For more information on these or other Kenneth Copeland Ministries meetings, visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395.